tell you what, I got my boat loaded up already. It's good stuff. Chris, thank you. Thank you for representing. That's BCN. Man, that's amazing. Oh, I'm sorry, Children's Church. Children's Church. Thank you, Aaron and Susan, for taking care of our kids. I'm saying Chris represents BCN, but he also represents through the IMB, our International Mission Board. That's our Southern Baptist Mission Organization. So a couple things there we can be very proud of this morning. I appreciate you giving us that, giving us your presentation, and we'll be praying for you as you go. India is not an easy place. Been there. But it desperately needs the gospel. So thank you that you've heard the call to go. Also, next Sunday morning for the Mother's Day, we'll have a breakfast. The men will have breakfast for the ladies. I forgot to mention that and got reminded of that right quick. So turn to your Bibles, if you would, to James chapter 5, as we continue. We're just a couple messages from being finished with this great book. What a great book it has been, too. I want us to think about the things that we've learned, and we'll come back. James, remember, these letters were written to churches, and they were written one continuous letter, and so to preach them that way, we can get the gist and the meat of the letter and what he was trying to say. I'm leaking everywhere, so you'll have to just put up with me for just a minute while I get under control. But praying in all situations. I was thinking about, I'm so thankful for your prayers as the Arkansas team went out and came back, and Rick cut his finger a little bit and got out of some work, but just kidding, Rick. But, you know, God protected us. That's a lot of miles, a lot of states. He protected us. He gave us the strength to go out there and represent you, and then to come back and just the prayers, you know, that were being lifted up. I thank you for that. We don't take that for granted. And I appreciate when you pray for one another. What a great testimony Chris said about feeling the love. You know, we should remember how important that is. We take that for granted sometimes about the love that we have for each other here. And that's a beautiful thing, beautiful thing. But I want you also to know is God's working, and he is, that there'll be attacks against that love, and we'll be tested to see if that is true love with each other and our relationships. And so I want to be on guard from that. Satan, when God starts working, Satan always attacks, and that's okay. That's okay, because the Lord allows that to happen to make sure that we become more and more like Christ. So be careful when God's at work, that we don't allow Satan to become our mouthpieces. And so be on guard. And I'm so glad that you're loving and love each other, and we need to continue to do that. So thankful for what Christ is doing here. But praying in all situations as we get to this place in James. And let's go ahead and we'll read our scripture. Let's stand to our feet. James chapter 5, 13 through 16. James chapter 5, 13 through 16. And it says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church, and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Father, for just a few moments, thank you for your presence as we already feel. Thank you for your work that you're doing in our hearts. I pray that your word will go forth, and God, may it touch our lives. In Jesus' name and for his glory. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. You know, as people of God, we should be praying people. We should be people that pray continuously, that have this relationship with the living God, that's continuously in communion with him, in focus with him. James, I love James, is not... He's not going to challenge us to do something. He walked the walk, or should I say, he kneeled the knee. James did. Because tradition, if you read about the tradition of James, it says that he wore calluses. He prayed so much that he wore calluses on his knees. They called him Old Camel Knees. That was his nickname. How'd you like? That ain't a bad nickname, is it? If you're Old Camel Knees, it's not going to be from getting down and putting plaster or doing construction work, but because you spent so much time praying, they nicknamed you Old Camel Knees. I thought the irony of that, the irony of James, the half-brother of Jesus, that didn't receive Christ until after the resurrection, and yet after this, after the ascension, he spends so much time communing with that one that he had rejected when he was here on earth. What an awesome, you see that person when they come to Christ and how they change so quickly, and how that is for all of us. If any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creation. And James spends so much time on his knees and praying, and so should we. And as we get to the end of this book, I want you to see he's going to show us that it's probably the most important thing that we can do as God's family is to pray together. And he lists all three common conditions in which we should pray. And the first one we can all relate to: pray when you're suffering. Look at 13a. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. James is letting us know he's encouraging those that are suffering. And we know through the whole book, the book is about being tested through suffering and the trials that come into our life. And James says, if you're suffering, and I can tell you, many of us here are suffering. There are things going on. There's sicknesses in our family. There's this constant bombardment of things in our life that we could attribute to suffering. James says, here's what you do. Pray. Pray. And I don't mean many times I'll joke with my wife. I'll say, did you pray for me today, honey? Yes, I prayed for you. I said, I don't mean God bless my husband. She asked her. I said, I don't mean God bless my husband. I mean, did you pray for me? And sometimes, I'm just joking, sometimes that's what we do. We're in such a hurry that we really don't take out the time to really pray for others and the needs that they have. Really focused on those prayers that need to go up. We said we don't have enough time. Listen, Paul said, be in a season of prayer at all times. Lifting up prayers. It's this attitude of prayer. While you work, while you drive, wherever you go, you can be communing with the Lord and praying with Him. There should be a time of posture. Don't get me wrong. When we get down on our knees before the Lord, there should be. But He's not saying you can't pray if you don't get on your knees and shut your eyes. That'd be very dangerous driving, wouldn't it? Yeah, especially on 194, right? But he's talking about this mindset of praying. If you're suffering, pray. We've all heard the saying, bad things happen to good people, haven't we? Why does bad things happen to good people? I want to straighten this out here this morning. There are no good people. In fact, the Scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one. And so we're God's people. We're God's people. Why do these things happen? And why is suffering come? And it's a part of our life, and the Scripture shows us that. And somebody gets up and preaches to you about, oh, if you'll just do this and that, you'll have this life of ease. That's not biblical whatsoever. In fact, Christ said through the suffering we become more like Him. Paul said, I want to know Him and the power of His suffering and be conformed more to His image. It's the suffering that we go through that draws us more closer to Christ. And we all can attest to that. When everything's going fine, it seems like our prayer life is not as desperate, if you please. But you let things come into your life, it's amazing how we change our way that we pray, and we're desperately wanting to get a hold of the Lord, and we're desperately wanting people to pray for us. So James says, pray when you're suffering. We're going to have bad things that go on in a fallen world, okay? We live in a fallen world. We're surrounded by fallenness. Until Christ comes and makes it right, we're going to have suffering. There's going to be trials. There are going to be these things come into our life. So the question is not whether bad things are going to happen, but how am I going to respond to the bad things that come? James says, he gives us the right answer, pray. Be praying people. Pray. And then a lot of times when we hear that, okay, well, how do I pray? What do I pray for, or how do I pray? And when the Bible tells us these things, and James, he's saying, okay, pray in these situations, you say, how do I pray, or what do we pray for? Well, you got to look at the context of what it's given in, and many times it answers its own question. And James has told us back, if you go back to 1:5 and flip back over, or actually 1:2-5, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He began the letter saying, you're going to fall into trials. And then he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. James says these trials that you have are going to produce patience. But then he says in 4, but let the patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. James says, let it work through you what God is wanting it to do. And then he says in 5, if you lack wisdom, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it may be given to you. What do I have to pray for? God, give me the wisdom to understand how to handle and go through this situation to bring glory to Christ. James is saying, use this as a, not, I always, you'll hear me say this sometimes, don't let it be a stumbling block in your life, but a stepping stone. Don't stumble over the things of suffering and things that come in your life, but use it as a stepping stone to step and make your way towards Christ and Christ's likeness. And James is telling us that. He starts back at the beginning of the book. You know, God has the ability to take the bad things of our life and make something glorious. God can take a junk heap and make a masterpiece out of it. That's what he's good at. Look, you're looking at one. Not a masterpiece. I'm telling you, my life was a junk heap. I was lost and undone, and I was groping around in blindness, groping trying to find the things that brought satisfaction and purpose and the things of the world I was filling in my life until Christ got a hold of me and he changed my life. And you know what? He's got a sense of humor. Why? Because he made me your pastor. That's right. He's got a sense of humor. I would have never believed that I'd ever be a pastor or getting up and talking to people about God's Word. That's what, and I can't take any credit for it. I told Aaron this week, we were talking about it. I said, Aaron, I can't take any credit because if I had my way, this would have been the last thing I'd have been doing. I wouldn't get up in front of you. I'm not comfortable with getting up in front of people. God doesn't care about our comfort. He just wants us to be obedient. He will never call you to do something he doesn't equip you to do. I'm looking at a room full of people that God, tremendous potential that God can use. Quit looking, quit surfing in the comfort zone. Get out and let God use you outside of that, outside of the box of your comfort. That's where he dwells. Well, not only are there, do we pray when you suffer, but, and think about this week, Nepal and this earthquake, man, over 7,000 people now. Over 7,000 people that have died in this horrific earthquake in the city of Kathmandu in Nepal and that surrounding areas. Wow. That's tremendous suffering. And yet you got, I can't help in my mind, I see people that are running away from it, right? But then you have all these people that are running towards it, God's people. I'm thinking, can the world not see Christ in that? When people are trying to run away, and who's running that way? They're running towards it. Why? Because we have something to help them. Yes, we can help them in their hunger and in their clothing and all these things, but the greatest thing we can help them with is giving them hope in Christ. And we carry that every day, the hope of Christ in us. And that's why God's people are running that way. I think of great ministries like Samaritan's Purse. I guarantee you they're on the scene right now where people are running. They're there. Why? They're carrying the gospel. They see something outside of their cell. I guarantee you there's people that are not comfortable in what they're doing, right? But they're outside their comfort zone. Why? Because God has called them to do that. And he's called each and every one of us to that kind of ministry. To serve a hurting world. To take hope to the hopeless. We pray when you're suffering. But also, listen to the next one. Praise when you're happy. Verse 13b. And James says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. I want to ask you, is anyone cheerful here this morning? Is anybody happy? What does that mean? What does that mean to be happy? I was thinking about that. Does it mean I'm in good spirits? Hal, I'm in good spirits this morning. Why? Because I feel the Spirit of God in this place for one thing. And that makes me very happy. But because God's people are here, we get to come together. Look, we come together as a family. We're not perfect. We're full of flaws. But you know what? We're willing to overlook that, hug each other's neck, and just worship and focus on God. Why? Because we need that. We need that desperately in a world that's a whirlpool, man, and it's just wanting to suck you away from that. Why does it want to take you away from this so much? Ask yourself that question. Because there's power here in God's people meeting to pray and praise and worship. Satan don't want that to happen. Think about that. Praise when you're happy. Turn your frown upside down. We should be the happy. I don't mean plastic. No, you've heard me talk about it. I don't mean, everything's okay when you're going falling apart. I'm talking about we should be the most happiest people, joyful people in the world. Why? We have eternal life. And a billion years from now, we will be alive with Christ forever. So we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear sicknesses. We don't have to fear the things that the world fears. Why? Because Christ has built a bridge of hope for us. And so we should have joy in the midst of our adversity. We have total dependence on God. We're talking about the beauty of this day. Every day is beautiful, by the way. I noticed that out in Arkansas every morning, we were standing out there looking out the window at the sunrise that came up, and it was very beautiful. It comes up every day. Every day, a lot of times we're so busy we don't take out the time to see it. And I think it was Aaron that mentioned it in one of his testimonies. He said, it's because on a mission trip, it seems like we're just so Christ-focused. Everything's about Christ and all these things. And you know, here's the deal. Life is a mission trip. It's all about Christ, your job. Everywhere you go, man, you can find joy. And there's nothing wrong with standing in the window and watching the sun come up and sing a praise song unto Him. He said, oh, I can't sing, Dave. He didn't say it had to sound good. He said, just make a joyful noise. You've heard me talk about my kids when they were little. I remember them singing. Were they on key? Were they singing in perfect pitch? No, they were just singing, and I would just sit back and just enjoy that so much. Why? Because it was my children singing. You not think God doesn't feel the same way? Sing a song unto Him. Have joy in our hearts. Why? Because He is our Creator, and He sustains it, and the very breath that we're lifting up to Him comes from Him. Everything that we have comes from Him. Total dependence, every breath, every beat of our heart, every second of our day belongs to Him. It's all His. I can't help count your many blessings. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. I mean, man, think about your blessings. I know it's easy to see the glass half full in this society, in this culture, and they teach you to be that way. But guess what? Or half empty. It's half full too, man. God, look how blessed that we are and what God is doing and what He's doing in your life. Don't see the negative. Satan wants us to focus on the negative. See the positive in what God can do in the midst of any and every situation. That'll bring a song to our hearts. That'll make us happy, and we sing. Squire Parsons. I sing because. Why? I wish I could sing. I'd belt it out. I do sing unto the Lord. You can ask some guys. Sam said, sing a song. Then he made fun of me. But we sing. I sing because I have joy in the Lord. And James says, sing a song. Sing our praises unto Him. Listen to this. When we sing His praises, we're delivered from the idols of our hearts. Now think about that. The idols of our hearts. When we take the gifts that He gives us and wrap our hands around them, we forsake the giver. But when we open our hands in praise, we keep the mindset of the giver and not the gift. What we have is not what we're supposed to be joyful about, although we are to give Him praise for that. But the one who is the giver of all, that's who our focus is. And that's what gives us our joy. And music helps us to keep that perspective in our life. Singing helps us to keep our affections and our focus on the one that gives, not what's given. That's what James is saying. If you have this praise, if you're happy, if you're cheerful, let Him sing songs. That is a prayer unto itself, by the way. All the psalms that were written, and most of them to music, is a prayer unto itself. Nothing wrong with singing a prayer unto the Lord. Nothing wrong with having a heart of joy and cheerfulness that gives praise unto God no matter. I'm going to tell you, the greatest people that you see and the greatest testimony are the ones that are in the midst of those adversities that you scratch your head, that can sing praises unto God, and you say, how in the world, going through that, can they lift up their hands and sing praises unto Him? That points to Christ more than anything. Why? It'll get you through many situations because it's not the gift, but the giver that we are to focus on. We must give our affections unto God. Praise when you're happy. Well, pray when you're suffering, praise when you're happy, but last, listen to this, prayer when you are sick. Look at verses 14 through 16. Is anyone among you, let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Please understand what James is not saying. Not saying forsake the doctors. Forget about going to the doctors or the hospital. He's not saying that at all. He's saying it's not a substitute, but what he wants us to see is he's calling on the elders of the church. Please understand, there's a big debate over this, a big what's it mean, these kind of things. He's talking about the elders of the church. He didn't say call on the apostles of the church or the apostles. So it's not a time frame. It's not this mystical thing that happened and does not happen again. He's saying, and it's not this mystical experience that we take out that was for them, but for not for now. He's talking about people that believe in the power of prayer. Do we believe in the power of prayer? James said, if somebody's sick, he said, let them call on the elders of the church. Not something that spiritual ministry of days gone by. It's not a mystical thing to be misunderstood. It's a God-centered prescription on when we have serious illness in our lives. It's the elders of the church, and they call to him to pray over him. It sounds like this person's not even able to come themselves, don't it? They're calling for the elders to come and pray over a sick brother or sisters. And when they come, I want you to look what it says. It says, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That's what we get. What in the world is that anointing? Is that something mystical? Is it holy water? No, it has nothing to do with anything. Oil is not sacramental. It's not medicinal. Even though we see in the scripture many times it is used for medicinal purposes, where to help the people, those kind of things. But this is the idea, just like in Mark 6:13, the only time this is used again. It said, and they, and they're talking about the apostles in this part, cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick, and they healed, and it would heal them. So he's talking about this process of when they were going and they were anointing and that these people were being healed. What is the oil then if it's not sacramental, if it's not municipal? It's symbolic. Anointing frequently symbolizes the consecration of a person or things for which God is getting ready to use. That's all it is, his service. James is showing how that person is being set apart for God's special attention in prayer. The anointing in verse 14 refers to physical action with symbolic significance. It's not about the oil, it's about the prayer. Prayer is the primary thing. You listen to what he says, because he points that out in verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. James makes sure we understand it's the prayer of faith that the Lord hears and heals. He always remembers, it's not the man, it's not the oil, it's the Lord that does the healing. But it's in conjunction with this prayer of faith, with these elders praying over this sick person. A good think about the four friends, Mark chapter 2, 1 through 12, when Jesus, the paralytic, remember they had him on the mat. They got to the house, and they couldn't get into Jesus. What did they do? They went up on the roof, didn't they? They tore the roof off. That's some pretty good friends that's wanting to get to Jesus, get their friend to Jesus, ain't it? Oh, would that we would be like those friends and wanting to get our friends to Jesus. Oh, my goodness, that we cared enough about people. They hauled him, Jesus tore off the roof and let him right down in front of Jesus. What did Jesus say? Your sins are forgiven. First thing he said, didn't he? Your sins are forgiven. They're scratching their head to people in there saying, how can anybody forgive sins? Jesus said, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority over sin and over this sickness. He said, take up your bed and walk. And what did he do? He got up and went home. But you know what he said? He looked up at those friends and he said, it was your faith. Because of your faith, he's made well. It's the same idea that people that believe in the power of prayer, that believe that they're in the will of God, this was the will of God for them to take their friend of that to Jesus at that spot. When they let him down, guess what? Not only was he healed of his being paralyzed, but he got up and walked home and was forgiven his sins. And James is saying, make sure that we understand that prayer of faith. Hear me clear. He's not saying if you have enough faith. You hear that? Had enough faith, or that the elders had enough faith. It's believing that it's God's will to heal that sick person. And it's praying together. And it said if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Listen to this. All sickness is a result of sin. You know that? We live in a fallen world. All sickness is a result of sin. Hold on a minute. But my sickness is not always a result of my personal sin. Because we live in a fallen world, sickness comes in. Okay. What about the South Fort Crud? How many people? South Fort Crud, we all suffer. We pass that around like a ping pong ball. Some of us have still got it and suffering with it, right? Does that mean that we were all a bunch of sinners and we were sinning and so we were just hitting that thing back and forth and we were getting sick? No. It means that we live in a fallen world. We're going to get sick sometimes. We got loved ones that are in the hospital right now that are sick. Is it as a result of their personal sin? Sometimes it is. You say, what are you talking about? Don't you remember when we do communion? What do I always tell you? We're going to do that at the end of the month. It'll be fifth Sunday, so we'll have the Lord's Supper. I always say, remember we go to 2 Corinthians there and he talks about, hey, don't you take of this supper unworthily, because he says many are weak, many have become sick, and some have died. Some have fallen asleep because they take of the Lord's Supper unworthily. There's going to be times when there is sickness because of personal sin. But James is saying, that's not what he's talking about here. He's dealing with this guy that they brought or that they've went to. They brought the elders to him, and they're saying, you know what? If he does have personal sin in his life, if that sickness was because of that, then God will forgive him and his sickness will be healed. That's the powerful God that we serve. It's not something that we miss. Hey, we've done this. You remember when, Brooke, you remember when Henry was going to have open-heart surgery, Brooke and John Brennan brought him here, and we anointed him with oil. Why? Because there was a mom and dad that was desperate to see their son that was sick have this healing through surgery. And he came through fine. Look, there he is. That's what God can do. That's what God can do. And he says, our sickness reminds us of our spiritual weakness. Okay, we're all spiritually weak. All of us. We desperately need the Lord. We desperately need to spend time communing with him. And then he finishes up verse 6 and he says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Remember where that the context of that is. And he's talking about accountability and praying for one another. He said that what? That you may be healed. We have to be accountable to one another. The guys were, I was driving the van on the way home, and I made some quick turns and, you know, getting through yellow lights. And I had one of them say, look, you're representing South Fork Baptist Church driving that way. But you know what? That's the truth. Is it not? We represent Jesus Christ first, everything we do, and then we represent our church. And how we talk to each other, what we say about one another, what we do. And so this accountability is, we need to be accountable to one another. We need to be able to come to one another, have a group of people that we can say, you know what, I'm struggling with this. Or I'm struggling with this person and I love them and I want you to help me pray for this. And we need to have groups of people. You don't have to worry about it being posted on Facebook after you got done talking about it. That we can trust one another. That we can be accountable. You know what? You need to keep me accountable as your pastor. I'm a man. You need to keep me accountable. Keep your thumb on me and make sure that I'm living what I'm preaching to you. Keep me accountable. We need to keep each other accountable. How are you living? Are you coming to church on Sunday and living like the devil the rest of the week? Don't do that. That doesn't represent Christ, and that sure doesn't represent South Fork Baptist Church. And the world's sick and tired of churches like that. James said, be accountable. Be accountable and then pray for one another. And it's healing that you may be healed. Transparency and mutuality of confession of sin, James said, this makes a righteous, fervent Christians that the Lord listens to and fellowships with. When we're that way, when we're transparent with one another, we don't play games, we don't act like we're something that we're not. But we're transparent to each other. When we struggle, we struggle. When we help one another. Sometimes we're weak. I'm the weak one. Sometimes you're the strong one. Sometimes I'm the strong one. Sometimes you're a weak one. We're working together for a common goal, a common purpose, and that's to bring glory to God, bring glory to Christ. And James said it makes fervent Christians that live right before the Lord that he listens to and communes to. You want to see things happen like you've never seen before? get this right and in order, be accountable, transparent, pray for each other, and look what God can do. What can He do? He can make a difference and change the world right here in South Fork community. James said that's what this is about. That's what these scriptures, he's ending up his, this whole test, all these trials that we go through are for a purpose. And that is to get closer to God and to point people to Jesus Christ. Applications and we're done. What are you facing that you really need to pray about this morning? I mean really pray. I don't mean God bless my husband. I mean pray. You got people in your life. You got lost people. You got people that are you're close to that you really need to pray and ask God and believe that God can make a difference. You've got people that you've hurt. You've got people that you've said things about that you shouldn't and gossip about. You need to ask God to forgive you and help you not to do that. What do you really need to pray about this morning? Here's number two. When was the last time you sang a song of thankfulness? Oh, I don't sing. Something wrong? Have you got anything to be thankful about? I don't mean bellowing it out everywhere. I mean singing a song unto the Lord. Be a joyful person. This world drags you down, and you have so much that's pulling at you, so much anxiety, so much depression that the devil uses to come in your life. I promise you, if you'll get a song on your heart, listen, put some praise music in your house too. Praise music, surround yourself by the praise music of God. Sing praises unto the Lord and sing your way out of it and give it unto God. You say, can you do that? Try it. You'll like it. Try it. Just try it. Sing praises unto the Lord every day. Why? He made it come up again this morning. He's sustaining everything. No matter how bad things might look, we can find something to praise the Lord about. And then lastly, is your prayer life powerful or powerless? Do you have a powerful prayer life? The righteous man, he has fervent prayers. He don't just tack it on. He don't say just prayers over his meals. But he spends time communing with God, men and women. And you have power in your life because of that time that you're spending with God. Is it powerful or powerless? Linda, come and play. And we'll have a time. What's God saying in your life? It might be that the Lord's shown you, you know what? I've never received Christ. I've played a game. I've been in church all my life. But this whole Christian thing, I don't understand. People say, one of these days, you know, I'll get things straight, and then I'll live for the Lord. That day never comes, friend, a lot of times. You don't put stipulations on when you serve the Lord or when you come to the Lord. Today is the appointed day. Now is the time. Jesus walked this earth for you. And it could be that you're here for that day. And if it is, the Holy Spirit's already spoke to you. When we stand up to start singing, you come forward. Could be the Lord's laid it on your heart to pray about something that you've not prayed about. You know you're just kind of messing around with it. And you're not really got serious about praying for a loved one. Somebody that you know that's lost. Somebody that's going through a struggle that you really need to pray. And then it might be that, hey, you know what? I just don't have a prayer life at all. Praying is something very foreign to me. Let's stand to our feet. Praying is just, you know, something I do maybe over a meal or when I put my kids down at night, but I really don't pray like I should. However the Lord has spoken to you, I want you to come forward right now before we start singing. Give it to the Lord. Well, people's coming. How about you? Lord's working. Don't you quench the Spirit of God in your life. What about you? Are you wrestling with something? Is God telling you to do something? Do you know you don't have the Spirit of God in your life? If you faced eternity right now, you would go to hell because you don't have Christ in your life. Don't put that off any longer. The Lord's working. You might not get another chance at this. He don't have to give you but one more chance here. Well, if coming forward, if the Lord's still dealing with you, don't leave before you talk to me today. If you need Christ or you need somebody to be praying for you about something, I'd love to do that. So praise the Lord for what He's doing here. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Tonight at 6 o'clock, Brotherhood and Wings. I love you guys. We're going to close in prayer. We'll be dismissed. Please close us in prayer, please.